The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, what is the one thing you feel you can't say in the church?
Well, sometimes I'm afraid to trust God because of what He might have in store for me.
I am hurting, and no one in my church even cares.
I can't believe God was there when I was sexually abused.
Stay tuned as Ann Jackson shares her own struggle with sexual abuse and porn addiction to move us past shame into hope.
Today. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Betty, and this is Jenny.
And you look really pretty.
Well, thank you.
You always look really beautiful.
Thank you.
And I mean that. And I didn't just tell her that, you know, like we got showed up on television, so I want to make a good impression. Not the case. I tell her that all the time because I mean it. And I was looking at the title of our guest's book, Permission to Speak Freely. Betty's basically her life story is free to be me. And couldn't help but think about that. And if you've never gotten Betty's story, you might ask for it. I think it'll be a real blessing to you. But Ann Jackson wrote this book, and I'm going to welcome her in just a moment, but I was captivated by the notes because she began to get all these questions and notes and comments on her website. And like, here's a little note. After my divorce, nobody called me. It broke my heart again. Signed, Mark. Just sad, just little expressions of, in so many ways, loneliness and coming oftentimes from people in the church setting and yet feeling so alone. And it's like they don't have anyone to really talk to openly and honestly. And I think that's too bad. And Ann has quite a story. Pastor's daughter, but actually was sexually abused by a church worker, someone on staff. Had a horrific impact. I want you to welcome Ann Jackson, and let's hear her story. Because Ann, we're glad to see you.
Thank you so much for having me.
I have to imagine it's tough to talk about your own journey because of what all happened, and then to think that you've shared it. But what I see in you sharing is that you not only experienced pain and tried to learn how to deal with it and defeat. And you take responsibility for a lot of your choices, even though you were misused and abused. It seems to me that you're more open because you've found how important it is for others to speak openly. Am I right about that?
Absolutely. I mean, there definitely is the pain and the shame and the weight of carrying guilt around, but I had somebody confess to me something very dark and secret in her life, and I saw in her a freedom, and I wanted that freedom. And so I also felt safe to confess to her because she had trusted me with her secrets, so maybe I could trust her with mine. And I opened up to her, and just, I mean, almost the immediate freedom that came with that was so profound that I knew that that was something I had to live out for the rest of my life and let others know that that was available, because just the weight and the shame, carrying that around for so long it's not what God intends for our hearts.
And isn't that one of the first steps, is realizing that you're not alone? Because that is a ploy of the enemy to make us feel alone and like no one has been as horrible as we've been in life and no one has failed as much as we have.
Oh, absolutely.
And to find someone that will listen.
Mm-hmm. You do. Through my own journey, I mean, there were very shameful things that I think we'll talk about that I did feel so alone, and I felt I couldn't talk to my parents about them. I couldn't talk to my friends about, even my closest friends. I felt there's no way they would accept me if they knew that I had done this or that I had said this or this was the path that I was taking. It was a secret. I had a secret life, essentially. And if I told someone, then I would be even more alone than the way I felt.
And you know, I referenced the fact that you experienced a really totally inappropriate relationship that someone manipulated to some degree. You may have appeared vulnerable, or you may have even played the cards of getting attention. Who knows what all happened? I don't really want to know. But as a result of that, some other things happened later that caused you to feel even more ashamed, that you even found more difficult to talk about. And in talking to you just even before we came out here, you said that as you have talked about these particular areas, you found out there are many people within the church, many girls, many women, who are facing these problems. Share what you share in the book, but also what you'd want our listeners and our viewers to hear.
Definitely. I was abused sexually by a youth pastor when I was 16 and 17 years old, and I grew up very naive, very sheltered, and didn't really know much about sex or sexuality, and so that awakened some curiosities, some questions that, and some emptiness and shame as well. So it just messes you all up. As that relationship continued, I turned to the internet, first innocently, just to research really what was going on, because I didn't have an education about like what was happening. But as I went to the internet and looked at porn and looked at what things were, I found this comfort. It comforted me. It was like porn was a medicine almost. It numbed out some pain that I was experiencing, and it numbed out the weight and the shame that I was carrying from this relationship with this youth pastor. At the end of our time together, he broke it off very suddenly. He was engaged. I was not aware of that fact, and said never to contact him again. I thought he loved me because of the things that we were doing. So I was just left devastated. And the first thing I did, what numbs me out? Porn. So I went back to that computer, and I graduated high school and moved out, had my own computer, my own time, nobody around me to be concerned with what I was doing, and kept looking at porn, felt so dirty and ashamed, because I knew it's very typical for men to look at porn. I mean, you hear guys even celebrate, it's like a guy thing, and it's not right, either way, but for a woman to look at porn, and I started questioning, am I attracted to somebody of the same sex? Because why do I enjoy looking at pictures of women, but I think I'm straight. And it was very confusing. Mm. And that just, again, brought more shame and more weight, and I never felt like I could talk about it. And that escalated from online things, numbing that eventually didn't fill the hole anymore. So I took those relationships offline and started getting involved with different men and just random encounters and that sort of thing. And for a little while, that filled that pain and numbed it out. But I was so afraid. I would never, nobody had any idea that, even my best friend had no idea that this was happening.
How are you able, because you really put us in a little bit of a mini semi-shock. Mm-hmm. Yes, you said a lot of people understand men can be unhealthily attracted or distracted, mm-hmm. But so unusual for a woman. Well, you're right. At least it certainly seems unusual, even unusual for men to be willing to admit I'm battling and ask for help. And that's too bad that we can't ask for help in any area we're defeated, especially among, quote, caring church people or Christians. That should be the safest place to go to get healing, to get help. But for you to be sitting here talking, and you're talking about it quite casually, I don't sense that you're indifferent about it.
No.
It seems that you're quite comfortable admitting, I had this humiliating problem, this defeat of which I was so ashamed, and yet now you're talking about, how can you talk about it like this and then write about it? What's gone on to bring you to a place that you're willing to say I was trapped, mm-hmm. whipped, trampled, beat down, and you're talking about it, not flippantly, mm-hmm. but you seem to be talking about it with almost an encouraging lightness, if I'm interpreting it correct. You don't seem
right.
to be like, here's this shamed, burdened woman, this woman at the well that Jesus said is married five times and you're living with another man. You sound more like the woman that went into town and said, come meet somebody who told me everything I ever did, but he won't tell you. You seem to be sitting here like this woman at the well. Am I reading that right as I try to interpret the way you're talking?
Yeah, that's actually a really great description. It's not comfortable to talk about it. It's never easy to look someone in the eye and say, this is the stuff that I went through. It's a shameful thing. It's sin. Sin costs something. For us, for Jesus, it costs something. But the freedom that I've experienced because of confession, that is the woman running back and saying, look what I found. I feel like it's not my story. It's a part of who I am and who I was, but God has redeemed that. And it's his story. I just get the honor to share what he's done and the freedom that I found from it, because it's so possible to be free and to feel you're not alone. You are not alone, whether it's porn or whatever it is. Everybody, I think, has something that they feel like they can't talk about. And that secret, that it weighs you down, and there's so much freedom in confession. The truth will set you free. I mean, it's in the Bible. It's a promise. And we're talking, you know, the Bible talks about confessing to God, which a lot of people think, well, I have this sin, so I'll just confess it to God, but I don't need to tell anybody else about it. And I did that at first. I confessed to God, but I was still carrying that weight until I told one other person. And when I told that one other person, my whole life changed.
Someone that may be dealing with the same thing that you went through, they would say, well, how do I find that person that I feel safe, that I can share my heart and just pour out my soul to? You know, sometimes it's difficult.
It's very scary. And honestly, you have to be uncomfortable, or you have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Yeah. It's not easy. And you're not going to know that it's a safe person until you try. So you have to take a risk. And there is wisdom and discernment. You may know somebody instantly that you look up to, maybe in a Bible study or in your neighborhood, or maybe you go to the gym with them, or you're a mom and, you know, it's another child's mom. So someone in your life may come to mind instantly. And if that happens, go to that person and try. And you never know. When my friend confessed to me, she had no idea of what was going on in my head, going, oh my goodness, like, here is a safe person that now I can talk to. And that just opened up. She trusted me with her secret. I could have walked out and said, you are one screwed up woman, and left. She had no idea that I was a safe person. And when I confessed to her, I still, even though she'd shared, I still didn't know what her response would be. She could have shamed me. She could have said, that's too much for me, I don't want, but she didn't. But you're not going to know until you try.
Yeah.
And so it's trying and really trusting God.
Did you feel like that a healing process started when you were able to start sharing and opening up?
Absolutely. I mean, it was with one person, and that, you know, grew to two people, and then it grew to three people, and as God kept redeeming that story in my life.
Did that group grow to people that would have been perhaps a little bit more stable and not necessarily desperate themselves? Did it grow to people that you would say had stability, and I found out I could trust people that weren't just having compassion because they identified with my areas of concern or some area of defeat?
Right.
That you found some stable people? Because I would recommend to viewers and to anyone here in the audience that you have to really be careful who you confess your weaknesses to.
Oh, absolutely.
And we don't confess to feel better. That even feels better. I got a problem. Well, we feel better, say it. We wrote in our book, Living in Love, which I would hope you read, but talking about relationship, that you confess to be made whole. We don't confess our sins one to another because we feel better. We don't go to confessional so we feel better. We confess to one another that we may be made whole, that we may be restored. So the fact that you continued on until that circle became one of even increased stability, it would actually be great if you could see a Christian strong enough and with enough love that in their strength, believing that they probably never did identify, but they could at least identify with the pain you're in and care to get you out of it. That should be the image of the church, that the church projects of Jesus. I hear you, you know, really seeking to communicate that in your book, that we need to offer the place for people to open up and speak freely.
Right.
And we need to seek that place. So
right.
We have two fronts we're fighting on.
Mm-hmm.
One, find the place. The other would be become that kind of person or place.
Exactly. I ended up going and seeing a professional counselor and have been in therapy on and off for the last 10 years. And I highly recommend, if you can't find that person or you really don't think there's someone safe in your life to confess to, go talk to a counselor. They're trained in stuff like this. And, you know, talk to a pastor if you can. And find that person that's going to help you spiritually grow and speak spiritual truth. Again, not to condone anything and not to condemn you. Like, I loved what you said, you know, separating, not to condemn, not to condone, but to speak truth and love into your life and show grace. It is possible. And as you see that demonstrated to you, become that, because that is how the church will become a safe place, is by me becoming a safe place, by you becoming a safe place, and people recognizing that. And you can sense in your spirit when someone's safe and when someone's not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, if you live your life transparently, and I'm not saying air all of your dirty laundry, that's, you know, there are churches I've heard of that require people to get up on stage and like air it all out, and I don't think that that's healthy or wise.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can become a safe person yourself and continue to live in that freedom. I saw that freedom in my friend and I wanted it. And
It's the morbid, unhealthy curiosity of really a sick world that wants to know all the details of your failure. Not only your weaknesses and what you did, who did what, when, how, what all took place. That is not a healthy curiosity. It is one that actually feeds innate desires and sensual appetites. It's just simply not healthy. The church should offer, as Ann said, the safe haven. She emphasized what I said earlier. I appreciate the fact she caught what I was saying and understood its importance. You neither condemn nor condone the one who is failing. You offer them a way out, a way to be redeemed, restored, and to rebuild their life on a solid foundation. Now, you speak, you've spoken at Catalyst, you speak in a lot of different groups with a lot of the young people. I'm excited about it. I really encourage you to get the book, because you need permission to speak freely, and you need to offer that to someone else. I think you can learn some insight here. And just seeing what people shared on her blog and on her web, just asking about help and saying things, it's very, very heart-touching. What would you want to share with our viewers, you know, as we literally, we're going to ask all of our viewers to help save lives in a few minutes. It's one thing to wish you could make a difference. It's another thing to know you can. What would you say to all of our viewers about the importance of being, what I say sometimes, a shoulder to lean on rather than just always having a sermon for someone?
Right. I would say know that you're not alone. And definitely, sometimes people don't know what to say when you hear bad news or when you hear someone's going through a tough time and you feel like you maybe have to give them encouragement or think of, oh, what's that scripture I need to give them right away. Sometimes people just need to know that you have their back and that you love them and that you're there, regardless of what they're going through, how difficult it may be, that you are there for them and you are going to support them and walk alongside them and do whatever it is that God wants that person to do. You're just going to come alongside them. And I love Galatians talks about carrying each other's burdens. And there is a time where we need to be carried and help to be restored and redeemed. And then there's a time when we get to carry each other. And it's a privilege, it's an honor to be able to carry each other.
And not people aren't necessarily expecting, like you said, for us to have all the answers.
Right.
We don't. But they would like to have someone that will listen well and that will just care.
Mm-hmm.
And just say, I haven't gone through what you have, but I care.
Right, right.
When somebody, that makes a big difference.
When someone's broken, or when another believer is suffering in some way, anyway, they're broken in any way, it hurts all of us because we're all united as the body of Christ. And to say, you know, you may not have had an addiction to porn or been abused, but you may have other pain in your life. And just the fact that we're all broken, That's the common thread,
yeah.
In that we're all being redeemed. And to not hide that brokenness either, I think the world needs to see that God actively heals us. And if we're not, you know, showing our wounds just a little bit, at least to somebody, how is the world going to know that God heals if they think that we're perfect and that there's nothing to be healed?
And the fact is, that's the first step toward finding healing.
Absolutely.
Is that, you know, those who are whole don't look for a physician. It's only the one that knows I need a physician. It's really important for us to understand that. So I don't want to heap condemnation on anybody that's defeated anywhere. I want to show you there's a way out, and the way is a person who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
That's right.
And he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. No matter how defeated you are, I'll lift you up. I'll lift you up out of the miry clay. I'll put your feet on a solid ground. That's the promise of Almighty God the Father, who expressed his love in Jesus. And really, I think that's what Ann is really trying to testify of and get out to us. And I just say thank you, Ann. Will you join us saying thanks to Ann Jackson and thanks be to God and everyone who ever encouraged you, and you be an encourager. And let me just say this to you right now. If you see the phone number there, you say, you may just need it because I don't want to tell anybody what's going on. Well, at least be willing to say, look, I got a battle in this area. You don't have to tell them your name. So pray with me here and just let them agree with you. Because we want to help you. Hey, wait a minute. We, the family of God, the Father wants to help you through his family, not just a bunch of institutional religious church folks who may think they're better than you. No, no, no. But real church, the real family of God will put arms of God around you. I want you to look at something that a lot of times your first impulse might be to turn away. I want you to do exactly what you're going to be asked to do, and that's look at the eyes. Just look. I wonder if you could answer the longing that you're going to see. Well, can I just tell you? Absolutely, 100%. you hold the answer in your hand. I want you to watch.
In their eyes are stories you and I cannot fathom. The pain of relentless hunger. The slow death that it brings. Fear of who it will take next. But in their eyes, we see hope. Do you see it? How about now? It's the power of love changing lives, one bowl of food at a time. Don't miss out on the joy of it.
You know, even in those eyes that look so empty and hopeless, God, we've seen a lot of them, Betty. I just learned that love in a bowl, because love fills our heart enough that we'd put our hands out, and at the bottom of this bowl, when you get all the soup out, there's the big word, life. And it's because we've received His life and His love, we want to share it. And Betty, we put a little porridge mix, a little soup mix in here that has saved. The last time the missionaries told us, the government national reports all over Africa was over 7 million lives had already been saved because we put food, one bowl at a time, one life. And to you, the viewers, $30 will feed 3 children for the next months. Not just a meal, 50 will feed 5. 100 will feed 10, and I'll never look at that camera and look at you and hold a bowl that I wouldn't say, would you please help us feed 10 children for the next months? But remember, if it's 3, to those 3, it's a matter of life to give them a bowl of soup. You look at their eyes, I saw them light up when they had that little bowl. I even see their eyes light up when they see your face. You remember the little girl that looked like she was afraid, and then all of a sudden you felt somebody holding your finger as you were walking toward other needy children. This little girl just grabbed your finger.
And it doesn't take long for it. There may be a language barrier, but there's not a love barrier when it comes to expressing the love of Jesus. And did you see that little bit of a smile come on the face of that child? I love it, because that smile says, someone cares. Someone has given me hope, James, because they've given me something that I need, and that's nourishment. Won't you join with us? Let's put some smiles on these faces that have been hurting so much.
I pray, Father, that you'll answer Betty's prayer, that the line to help them will always be longer than the line that needs help. Hear that prayer. You are the answer to that prayer. You are the answer to the heart cry of mothers and children. By simply reaching out and dialing that number. This is not wishful thinking. It's not a feeble hope. It's not wish we could find a cure for a disease. We've got the cure. It's simple nourishment that our love can provide. Would you dial that number right now and be the answer to that prayer, the prayer that I prayed, that the line to help will be longer than the line that needs help? Please dial the number. Take your bank card. Make the largest gift you can possibly make. Help us take care of as many children as possible. We want to send you God's kingdom in you, living in His presence in the present, because that's what we're doing. So we're manifesting His presence in the present, His love. Please do that. But I ask for the CDs. Thank you for your gift, the DVDs, Jim Hilton's book, Where Heaven Touches Earth. We want to be a blessing to you as you bless others. We want to show you God's intended purpose now, in you, right now. You don't want to miss this, but please make that special life-giving gift. If you want to go online, lifetoday.org, you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us what you're sending. Please make that life-giving call.
At this very moment, a child is drawing her last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like her throughout Africa face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 500,000 children throughout remote areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With previous food reserves gone and Southern Africa facing its worst conditions and food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for the feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the God's Kingdom in You audio series and companion scripture guide. James and Betty Robison, along with Beth Moore, inspire you to live every day in the power and presence of God. With your gift of $125 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request both the video DVD and audio series with scripture guide. As a bonus, we'll also send you Jim Hilton's new book, The Supernatural Skyline. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help save the lives of 100 children, and be sure to request the beautiful new Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online.
What we're doing here in this mission feeding program is we're providing life. We're giving children life in the form of a bowl of food each and every day, because mission feeding truly does save lives. It's not a tagline, it's a lifeline. It's a reality for these children. This truly is a lifeline being provided to these precious children each and every day. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for filling these bowls. And I want to stress to you how important it is that we keep this lifeline going to these children, that we keep mission feeding going here, and that we keep saving lives. And that's why I need you to go to the phone, to dial that number on your screen, or get online and give the best gift that you can give. Give the gift of life.
I just pray that if there's any way you could help us care for 100 children or more, do it. I sense that you will. I don't feel like I have to lean on you or push, but, you know, the Father's heart, we want to send you that beautiful bronze, but more than anything, we want to bless you with something that reminds you of God's love. But you demonstrate God's love when you help us save lives. Help us rescue as many as possible, and we want to send you God's Kingdom in You. I want to mention again the book by Ann Jackson, Permission to Speak Freely. She has been willing to do that because she found the freedom that comes in opening up and speaking freely and then offering that opportunity to others. Ann, thank you. Join with Betty and me. Bless all you do to bless others.
Thank God, just so strengthen
you in your journey. Thank you so much. Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for helping us help others.
Is that if we don't have to fight to take it, we won't be able to have the strength to keep it.
The overcoming power of kingdom presence tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.